This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page number 90 of the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, the fifth juz. In the previous episode, one of the main themes and subject matters that we were speaking about is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were telling the Muslims or instructing the Muslims, especially at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they should obey the command of Allah azza wa jalla and the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight in his way, to fight in his path subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how the different groups were responding to that command of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially from the hypocrites who would take every excuse and find every way of trying to remove themselves from that situation and from that, from having to obey that particular command. And we know this to be the reality from the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from his seerah, the stories that we have from the battles of Badr and Uhud, for example, and other incidents that took place, for example, such as on the day of Ahzab, the Battle of the Trench, other types of the Battle of Tabuk, all of these incidents that show that when it came to this particular command, that they should follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into battle, those people would turn away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore gives the instruction in the final verse that we took in the previous episode, the instruction that people should fight in the way of Allah azza wa jal in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's command. Today we continue from verse number 75, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا وَجَعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا وَجَعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا. Why should you not fight in Allah's cause and for those oppressed women, men, women and children who cry out, "Our Lord, rescue us from this town whose people are oppressors. By your grace, give us a protector and give us a helper." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse therefore is saying to the believers, for example, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims were originally in Mecca, and there they were being oppressed, and transgression and oppression was being committed upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore gave the permission by Allah's command that the Muslims could migrate from the city of Mecca to the city of Medina, and many of the Muslims did so. But there were other Muslims who stayed back. And in these verses that we will take, inshallah, in today's passage and the forthcoming passages, Allah azza wa jalla will speak about these two other groups of people. The first of them are those who were genuinely weak and unable to travel. They didn't have the means to be able to make hijrah and migrate to Medina. That's one group of people. And the second group of people are those people who chose to stay back in Mecca, even though they had the ability, financially and otherwise, to migrate. But they chose, for one reason or another, to stay within the city of Mecca. Allah Azza wa Jalla in this particular verse is speaking about that first group of people. Those people who don't genuinely have the ability to migrate, men, women and children, because of the weakness of their state and because of their lack of means and ability to migrate. Allah Azza wa Jal says therefore, and why would you not fight in Allah's cause for those people? And so Allah Azza wa Jal is giving this command to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to those Muslims who are in Medina and those people who are obviously under the umbrella of Islam, that why would you not fight when oppression is being committed amongst your to your brothers and sisters in Islam? Why wouldn't you follow the lead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And clearly here, Allah azza wa jalla is giving this command because the leader of the Muslims in the Muslim state is giving the command that they should fight, and they are refusing, or some of them do not wish to do so. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that there are men, women, children who are in a state of weakness, who want to leave, who want Allah's assistance, who want Allah's help, who seek to leave, but because of their means and because of their situation, they are unable to do so. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in this verse also therefore speaks about the situation of these people who are weak and being oppressed, and they turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla in dua, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling upon Allah Azza wa Jalla, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His divine aid and His divine assistance. In the next verse, verse number 76, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The believers are those who fight for Allah's cause, whilst those who reject faith fight for an unjust cause. They fight for the tawagheet. So fight the allies of shaitan, for indeed shaitan's strategies are truly weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says that those who believe fight for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't fight for any other reason except to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And within that verse, therefore, is a meaning which is extremely important. And that is that when you fight for the sake of Allah, the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal, it must also be done in the way that is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't claim to fight in Allah's way and for Allah's cause, and you're breaking the laws of Allah. You're not following the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal. You're not adhering to the commandments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That isn't therefore fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not fighting for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is a person fighting for their own needs, for their own desires, for their own ideologies that they've adopted. As for fighting for Allah's way, it is to adhere to the commands and the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal and the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the guidelines that he left for us. And that is why the companions, or whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send a group of companions on a military expedition, he would send them forth. He would say to the general of that particular army or that particular expedition, he would give him a number of guidelines. And he would tell them, don't attack these types of people and don't harm those types of people and don't destroy those types of buildings. And he would give to them a number of instructions and then he would send them on their way. So there are guidelines. It's not just an issue of anyone and everyone going and fighting in whichever way that they please or wish, because that way lies chaos. And that is not the way that the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal works. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous verse is saying to those companions, fight in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. But remember that fighting, and that's why we have whole chapters dedicated to this in the books of fiqh. The chapters of jihad and its many laws and its many guidelines are important for a person to be able to understand what it is that it means when we say fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because as we all know, this is an issue now that has become warped in the minds of many people, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, because of the way that certain people have misinterpreted the Sharia and these texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, and then applied them to situations that they cannot be applied. And by doing so, they have caused a great deal of harm and a great deal of chaos and a great deal of problems for the Muslim Ummah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says here that those who believe, truly believe, they fight in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is determined by Allah Azza wa Jalla himself. I don't get to choose what it means fighting in the way of Allah. You don't get to choose and decide what it means to fight in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated. Those are the people who truly fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ. And as for those who disbelieve, they fight in the way of every other taghut, meaning everything besides the sake of Allah is called taghut. It is false. And so those people fight for other than the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes it's for their own image, for their own reputation, for their own name. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that from amongst the first people that will be punished by Allah Azza wa Jal and thrown into the fire is a man who will be brought that was known for his bravery, known for his courage, known for his ability to fight on the battlefield. And this man will be brought and he will say, after Allah has reminded him of his many blessings upon him, why did you fight? And he will say, I fought only for your cause, O Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will reply, Kadhabt, you are a liar. But rather you fought so that people would see that you were brave, that you were courageous, that you had military prowess. And that is what was said about you. Meaning that your intention was to show off and to garner the praise of people. And you achieved your intention. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will command him and he will be thrown into the fire. May Allah Azza wa Jalla save us from that. And so here, any other intention other than the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal is in the way of the taghut. So whether that be for personal reputation and image, whether that be for desires or an ideology that someone follows that is against the Quran and the Sunnah, whatever it may be, those are all paths other than the paths of Allah Azza wa Jal. All people are fighting for false causes. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says that all of those people who fight in those causes, they are from the awliya al-shaytan. They are from the helpers and the people who give aid to shaytan. So that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ. So therefore fight those people who are allies of shaytan. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. For indeed the strategies, the plots of shaytan are truly weak. And this shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps and showers his blessings upon those people who are sincere for his sake. Those people who stand up sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they are there to help Allah's religion, and they are there to benefit and aid Allah's religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them and he helps them. And as for those people whose intentions are not pure, their intentions are not sincere, their intentions are not to service the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, those people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not aid them and help them. And after a while their situation becomes very apparent and very known towards the people. In the next verse, verse number 77, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالُ إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَخْشَوْنَ النَّاسَ كَخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَشَدَّ خَشْيَةً وقالوا ربنا لما كتبت علينا القتال لولا أخرتنا إلى أجل قريب قل متاع الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى ولا تظلمون فتيلا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, do you not see those who are told, restrain yourselves from fighting, perform the salah and pay the zakah? When fighting was then ordained for them, some of them feared men as much as or even more than they feared Allah, saying, our Lord, why have you ordered fighting or ordained fighting for us? If only you would just give us a little more time. Say to them, little is the enjoyment in this world. The hereafter is better for those who are mindful of Allah. You will not be wronged by as much as the fiber in a date stone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here speaks about the people who were living in the city of Mecca. At the beginning of Islam, as we know, the Muslims were in a state of being oppressed, and the numbers of the Muslims were few, and many from amongst those Muslims were from the ex-slaves or from the poor and the needy or the women and the children. Those were the people that were the majority of the makeup of the Muslim Ummah at that time in those early days of Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those companions that were with him were told to be patient. They were told to restrain themselves. They were told to expend all of their efforts in shoring up and firming up their tawheed, their iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, and also in shoring up and firming their actions of worship, their salah and their zakah. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying here. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ. Do you not see those who were told, restrain yourselves, hold back your hands, meaning don't retaliate. Those people are coming from the Quraysh and they're prompting you, They're inciting you towards violence, they're inciting you towards fighting, they're inciting you by oppressing you and harming you and calling you names and mocking your religion. They're inciting you towards some type of reaction, restraining yourselves. Rather, what should you do? وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Establish the salah and give the zakah. And even though this is before the time, as we know, before these two acts of worship were made wajib, or they were from the pillars of Islam, because both of them were legislated, as we know, one of them towards the end of the Meccan period and the other one in the Medinan period. However, the Muslims even before that time would pray, even though it wasn't necessarily the way that we understand the five daily prayers to be, but they were told to offer salah, so they would offer salah, and they were told to give zakah in the sense of giving charity, not necessarily in the sense that we now understand it with all of the different shares and nisab and minimum amounts, but they were told to give some of their wealth in zakah, in sadaqah, in charity, and so they would do so. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is giving to us a very important principle here, and that is that before a person can go to that level where they go and start doing things on a mass scale, the first thing that every person needs to work on is their own selves. And this is an inherent weakness that we see in the Ummah today. Many of us question why the Muslims are weak, why the Muslims are often oppressed, why Islam has such a bad name. And so we often ask these questions when we see world affairs and what's going on across the globe. But one of the things that we fail to realize is that one of the major reasons for that is because of our own weakness of Iman, our own weakness in terms of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how here Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to those Muslims. And amongst those Muslims are the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Hamza radiallahu anhu ajma'in, major companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's telling them, restrain yourselves. Be patient. What should you do instead then? Work on your Iman. Work on understanding your aqidah, your tawheed. Know who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. Know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you come to that point where you must now sacrifice your wealth, sacrifice other things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you can only do so if you have that strength of Iman, that strength of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the instruction that was given to the Muslims, and that is exactly what they did. When we look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those first 13 years of Mecca, all he focuses on is issues of belief, issues of faith, issues of strengthening a person's connection to Allah Azza wa Jal, understanding what it means to worship Allah alone, what it means to have tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, what it means to believe in Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what it means to believe on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, in the Day of Judgment, all of those issues that make the Muslim who they are. And then translating that Iman into deeds of worship, because you firm your Iman or you strengthen your Iman by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like a shield that protects the Iman that you have in your heart. So you spend your time in salah, you spend your time in charity, you spend your time in reciting the Quran, in seeking knowledge of your religion, doing those acts of worship that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal says, so therefore this is what Allah commanded the Muslims initially. Then, when they migrated to Medina and they had a certain level of strength, they were told now they could fight. فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ. So then when Allah Azza wa Jal now ordained fighting upon them, and from amongst those people are those people who in the Meccan period wanted to fight, they're told to restrain themselves. Now in the Medinan period they're told, now you can go and fight. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَخْشَوْنَ النَّاسِ كَخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَشَدَّ خَشْيَةِ. We found from amongst them a group of people who started to fear the people as if they fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, or as they should fear Allah, or even more so than the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that when the time came for them to step up now and to fight, they weren't able to do so. And that is because they didn't work maybe perhaps on that Iman issue, the issue of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the way that they should have. But rather they had a level of fear from fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, رَبَّنَا لِمَ كَتَبْتَ عَلَيْنَا الْقِتَالِ. Oh Allah, why did you legislate, why did you ordain fighting upon us? لَوْلَا أَخَرْتَنَا إِلَى أَجَلٍ قَرِيمٍ. If only you had given us more time, if only you had delayed us until another time. Allah Azza wa Jalla replies and he says, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. Say to them that the life or the enjoyment of this world is very little. And that is because the people who have this type of mindset and attitude, often it's because of some attachment to the dunya and this life. And that is one of the greatest traps of shaitan. One of the greatest traps of shaitan, not only to stop people from fighting in the path of Allah, but performing any act of worship, living a life of obedience and submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the greatest traps of shaitan is calling people to attach themselves to the dunya and this temporary life. And that is a pull that is very great, because it's the here and now. It's the materialistic world that you can see around you. It's the enjoyments that you can almost reach out and grab and benefit from or partake in. And so those are things that to you are here and now that you can actually see, and they're tangible. As for the reward of the Akhirah, belief in Allah, Yawmul Qiyamah, those are things that are further down the line. Reward and sin are things that are not tangible. You can't actually hold them and feel them. And so sometimes shaitan comes and he makes us heedless of those aspects and makes us focus on what we can see. And that is human nature. And though those things that you have to fight your desires against, you have to fight yourself for, it is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because you have to go a further step. It is an issue of Iman, that you believe in that which is unseen, not tangible. and you take that over that which can be seen and can be attained, but it is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla told you to stay away from. And that is why the Quran often focuses on this particular aspect, this issue of don't attach yourself to the dunya. Remember that the akhirah is better, everlasting, far greater in reward and enjoyment and blessings and so on. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same here. Those people who, when the time of fighting came upon them in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wished that it hadn't been ordained. Allah says why? The reason is because they wanted to continue the life of this dunya. And Allah says, know that its enjoyment is little. Little in what? Compared to وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى, and the life of the hereafter is better for those who have taqwa, for those who are people of piety and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that it is little, the life of the dunya and its blessings and enjoyments, in comparison to what Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared for the believers on Yawmul Qiyamah. And that is why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is in the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiyallahu an, in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, "Inna mawdi'a sawtin fil jannati khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha." The place of a stick in Jannah, meaning when you hold a stick, like a walking stick or some type of a walking aid, that stick at the bottom, how much space does it take upon the ground? It's like a small circle. That's all that it has upon the ground. He said that the place of the stick in Jannah is better than the dunya and everything within it. Just that small amount, area of Jannah, which is literally hardly anything. It is no bigger, no greater than a place for a stick, for you to put your stick down as you're walking. That's all it is. You couldn't live on it. You couldn't use it to trade in. You couldn't use it for anything other than it is a place for your stick to go. That is better than all of everything that you find in this dunya. Let alone what Allah Azza wa Jalla has then prepared for the mu'mineen, for the believers, in Jannah of everything else, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says elsewhere in the Quran, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُم مِّن قُرَّةِ عَيُّن. No soul knows what Allah has prepared for it from delights and treasures. And as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jannah is that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can possibly imagine. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. You will not be wrong by a fatil. And a fatil is the smallest amount of thing that you could possibly imagine. And the translator in this particular translation, he chose the word, the fiber in a date stone. And what that means is that when you open the date and you have the stone, in between the date and the stone, you have this small membrane, a skin, a small membrane that stops, or that is between the date stone and the date itself. That, he says, is the meaning of fatil. But either way, the fatil is essentially something which is extremely small, has no worth, is value, has no value, but in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, His perfect justice and His complete justice subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that even that small amount that most people wouldn't even consider to be an issue because it's not worth anything, doesn't make a difference to anything, even that amount in the accounting of Allah Azza wa Jal is not misused, it is not misplaced, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all just Jalla fi ula. In the next verse, verse number 78, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقولوا هذه من عندك قل كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا. الله عز وجل says, death will overtake you no matter where you may be, even inside high towers. When good fortune comes their way, they say this is from Allah, but when harm befalls them, they say this is from you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say to them, both are from Allah. What is the matter with these people that they can barely understand what they are told? Allah azza wa jalla is saying, following on from the previous verse, that those people therefore don't want to fight in the path of Allah because they hold on to life and they feel that if they go to the battlefield then they will die. Say to them, let them know that death will come to them whenever it is decreed to come, wherever you may be, even if you were in fortified towers. Buruj Mushayyada are high towers that are fortified, like castles, that are upon the top of a peak of a mountain, that is a fortress essentially that has been closed off from everything external. But death doesn't need doors, death doesn't need windows, death doesn't need to approach you in the way that other things do. Death will come to you in the way and manner that Allah Azza wa Jal decrees. And when the angel of death comes, by the command of Allah, there is nothing upon this dunya that can stop its coming. There is nothing that can act as a barrier between you and between death. And so say to them, those people, that death will come to you. If Allah decreed for you to die in one place, it will happen. And if Allah didn't decree for you to die on that day or in that place, then it will not happen. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla continues and says, these are the people who, when some good comes to them, they say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when some bad comes to them, they say it's because of you. Look at what you've done, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're the one who brings us false things or bad things, or you're the one who brings us bad luck and so on. And so they would use the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a portent or an omen of everything harmful and bad that took place to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Say to them rather, everything that happens, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who decrees both good and both bad. And Allah azza wa jalla is the one who ordained that this thing should happen to you, whether it was good or whether it was bad. And so Allah azza wa jalla, that is from the iman of the Muslims, as we know, from our belief in Allah azza wa jalla, is that we believe in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether good or bad, it is what Allah azza wa jalla has decreed. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to happen. And so therefore the belief of the Muslim is that we don't say that good stuff is only from one thing or a bad thing is from something. Allah decreed everything. Yes, we don't ascribe that evil back to Allah Azza wa Jalla, because it is not from good etiquettes to do so. It is not from the good practice of a Muslim that they ascribe things which are bad and evil to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But we believe and we know that nothing happens except by Allah's will and by His permission subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore Allah allowed it to happen. And that is a test for me and you when some calamity or hardship befalls us. فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so what is wrong with these people? لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. They barely understand what is being said to them. Because all of these issues that are explained in the Quran and the Sunnah, all of these issues that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells them over and over again, it's as if they barely understand. These are people who, when this admonition is given to them, this reminder is repeated to them time and time again, over and over, they don't really understand. They don't connect with it. They're unable to understand what it is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the final verse that we'll take in today's episode, verse number 79, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Anything good happens that happens to you, it is from Allah. Anything bad that happens is ultimately from yourself. We have sent you as a messenger to people, and indeed Allah is sufficient as a witness. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla now is changing or discerning between two things, differentiating between two things. In the previous verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, they're all good and bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decrees it. Nothing happens except by Allah's permission. However, in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla is now speaking about the means or the reason as to why it happens. The first reason is that when it comes as something good, it is from Allah's blessings, from Allah's mercy. It is from Allah's favor and His grace. And if something bad happens, some calamity, hardship befalls you, then it is as Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us elsewhere in the Quran, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. It is because of what you have earned by your own two hands, meaning by the sins that we have done, by the misdeeds that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes sends upon us these hardships and these calamities. And so therefore there is a differentiation between these two issues that Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning. And that is why, as we said, we don't ascribe evil to Allah Azza wa Jalla, as is mentioned in some of the hadith, وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدَيْكَ وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. All good is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and evil is not ascribed to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that even though Allah Azza wa Jal decrees and allows for it to happen, it is not befitting that we ascribe anything evil to Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, that evil is ascribed to ourselves, as Allah tells us in the Quran. It is ascribed to Shaytan and his whisperings to us. وَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا. Allah Azza wa Jal concludes this verse by saying, we have sent you as a messenger to the people, and indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is a witness over all of you. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.